And welcome back. Once again, you are listening to the Midweek Connection on KC 107.7. I am Connor Robertson, and today we have our resident legal expert, Ali Sonde. So Ali, welcome to Midweek Connection. First of all, can you start by explaining what the Constitutional Court recently ruled regarding the parental leave?
Yeah, so it's essentially, the Constitutional Court has declared that the way we see paternity leave, well, just generally, parental leave, let's put it that way, parental leave in the BCAA as it's here today is technically unconstitutional because it discriminates between a father and a mother and vice versa with adoptive parents, surrogacy, and same-sex couples. So the court has basically said the way it is now, it's unconstitutional, and they have basically implemented a provisional reading of how the BCAA should be read, and it should be, and that's not implemented, that it's effective immediately as of, I think it was the 3rd or 4th of October that judgment came out.
So why was this case brought before the Constitutional Court, and what were the main issues being challenged?
So it started off by a couple, but the Van Wyk, they were expecting a child. The mother in that couple had her own business, and she didn't want to now take 4 months maternity leave because she thought that her business would suffer. So she was only going to take the sufficient, I think, the 6 weeks that when a woman gives birth, they legally require to take 6 weeks after the birth of their child. They have to take 6 weeks, or if not, a doctor can give a medical certificate certifying them to go back to work. So in their relationship, this husband wanted to make use of that leave, essentially saying, okay, if you're not going to take that full month, the full four months, he should be attacked to take that remaining 3 months, for example, and look after their child. And so, unfortunately, our laws does not make provision for that. And he then basically approached the Gauteng High Court, essentially to declare that the Section 27 of the BCAA is unconstitutional, and challenged it on that basis. That he should be entitled to similar benefits as his wife. But there was a difference between what was ordered in the High Court of Gauteng versus what the Constitutional Court. Essentially, Van Wyk asked that maternity leave should be, or the parental leave should be 4 months for both parents, not just for one, right? So that means both parties to a parental regime should be entitled to 4 months each. However, the Constitutional Court made a different decision. Well, so that means the High Court granted that, I believe, it was 4 months each, whereas the Constitutional Court changed it and said it's 4 months, but it must be split or shared between the spouses. Yeah, that's basically what the Constitutional Court said.
So now that we know what the Constitutional Court said, let's look at before this judgment. How did the South African law handle maternity, paternity, and parental leave? For those who just don't know.
Okay. So the BCAA makes provision that a mother or a woman is entitled to 4 months maternity leave. Fathers were only entitled to parental leave as of 2020, so fairly new amendment to the BCAA where a father was entitled to 10 days parental leave. Okay. Likewise, we have adoptive leave. Adoptive leave was 10 days for one spouse and 10 weeks for another, right? And that was only provided to you if the child was 2 years and younger. And same-sex couples were treated on the same manner as, obviously, if you were a woman, you were entitled to your 4 weeks maternity leave. If you And the other spouse would be entitled to the 10 days, essentially, right? That was basically how it was. And then also surrogacy was the same, 10 days and 10 weeks.
So let's look at this court decision. How will this affect parents in practical terms? For example, who can take leave and for how long?
Okay, so in practical terms, the court has essentially said as a parental regime, for example, you as the party to that regime or that parental relationship, so husband, wife, same sex, whatever the setup is or regime is, you have to sit down and decide who's going to take what, right? And it's going to be three. So bearing in mind, it's four months and 10 days. That's the new order because they're combining the maternity and paternity leave together and saying that a parental relationship is entitled to four months and 10 days combined. Okay. So the parties are required to decide on how they wish to split that up. Okay. If there's no agreement between the parties, the default for you, the default position is that it will split down the line. So that means a mother or one spouse is entitled, one party is entitled to 2 months and 5 days, and the other is entitled to 2 months and 5 days. And that's basically how it will be.
So
if there's no agreement.
Yeah. So now I have to ask the funny question. Does this new framework include adoptive and surrogate parents as well?
Yes. So the Constitutional Court has declared that this parental leave is now extended to adoptive and surrogacy and same-sex couples, right? So if you adopt a parent, you're entitled to 4 months and 10 days, right? Or adoptive parents, for example. If you're just one person adopting, you're entitled just to the minimum 4 months, okay? But if you're a couple to that relationship, you're entitled to 4 months, 10 days, and you split it. Likewise with surrogacy, you're splitting it.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to some music. And when we return, we're going to get straight back into this interview.
The city's favorite, KC 107.7.
And welcome back. Once again, you're listening to the Midweek Connection. I am Connor Robertson, and today we are speaking to Ali Sonde, our resident legal expert, relating to the new Constitutional Court decision on parental leave. So we're going to be discussing the impact on employers and the workplace. How should employers adjust their HR and leave policies to comply with this new ruling?
Yeah, so HR needs to know. So the one thing that I think a lot of my colleagues in practice has been debating on is that it's going to come to the point where employers themselves is going to have to be in communication with each other. So if you, for example, the parties in the parental relationship, if they're not working for the same organization, which is the case in most circumstances, those employees is going to need to be in communication with each other, okay? Because it's going to be open up to abuse. I can simply say, oh, my wife said she's only going to take 1 month. I can take 3 months, for example, right? Meanwhile, she'll still take 4 months, right? That is where it's open up to abuse and fraud and basically abusing the system. So HR needs to now go about amending their policies to reflect that, okay, obviously to reflect the new law, but there's going to be something along the lines where either the party needs to fill out a HR form or a leave, a parental leave form saying, okay, this is the amount of days, and that they also consent to either getting some form of confirmation from the other spouse's employer or consent to allowing the employer to contact the other employer, something along that line, that everything can be confirmed, right? But again, we're opening this up to now privacy laws as well. So again, Poppy also comes into effect. So employees need to bear those in mind, but it's coming down to the line that they need to adjust it in line with what the BCA allows for and make provisions for rental forms or something to that effect.
Absolutely, because I mean, I was thinking about it with, or I was actually discussing this with my wife because we're also expecting, and that was actually a point that my wife mentioned to us and or to me, where she said, "But what happens if I?" Because we're both self-employed, so we don't necessarily need to apply for leave, but there still comes the situation of we have two different businesses. If I say, listen, my wife said she's going to take 6 weeks and she's going to go back straight into work, there is a very difficult way to confirm that because, like you said, Poppy's a real, real, let's call a big red tape. So for me, I feel like communication is key, but like you said, there definitely has to be some level of paperwork that confirms that your partner is taking 2 months and you're going to take 2 months. Or, you know, let's say you take 3 months and your partner takes a month. They definitely need some sort of confirmation, and I would almost, it almost needs to be fact checked by, you know, between the two HRs. I just don't know how that works in practice.
Yeah, look, like we've come up with these solutions, or well, like when clients has reached out, look, this is the solution. But in practice, we haven't, it's still early days as to see how this will roll out, right? Constitutional Court really rushed this judgment out. We're not giving any guidelines as to how we should implement it, right? So employees are now scrambling and amending their policies. And as of date, I've not heard any issues with the parental leave forms or requesting these things. But again, it's still early days, so it's too early to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we don't even have enough viable data to go off. I mean, it was literally just announced maybe 2 weeks ago. So I think we'll probably only really know the impact of it as we head into our new financial year. Because I think that's where things are really going to come into play. And then I think there's going to be bigger pressure on lawmakers to, of course, amend where necessary, or for labor just to give more policies in place to protect both the employee and the employer.
Correct.
So we're going to go into more of the financial and administrative impact. What are the impacts on businesses and or does this mainly involve the UIF system?
So for the businesses, it does have an impact, right? Mainly in the sense that if you provide for more favorable benefits, so bear in mind, BCA makes provision that, or previously BCA used to make provision that if you provide maternity leave, or if a woman takes maternity leave, you're entitled to 4 months, right? But bearing in mind, it's 4 months unpaid leave. So you used to, then you have to claim from the UIF. But if you, a company that provides favorable benefits, and in most cases, or not most cases, but I have known a lot of companies where they either offer 65% paid, 50% paid, whatever the range may be, but some companies provide for more paid maternity leave benefits. So that business, if your business that provides such benefits, you can't say, oh, it's only available to women, because now you're going against the constitutional court judgment, because that stemmed from discrimination between genders. Now, if you're providing it to a maternal mother, you also have to provide it to a paternal father, likewise with same-sex couples and surrogacy and adopted parents. So if that benefit is, if it's a paid benefit, it's a paid benefit for all. So there's a big financial implications to businesses. And it's going to come down to businesses going to either now revoke that benefit, if it's in terms of a policy, if it's in terms of a contractual term, you're going to have a bit more difficulty on that. But you have to now, if it's in terms of a policy, which most company has, you either have to amend it to, in such a way that, okay, we're only paying for 2 months or something along that lines.
See, the thing is, as I like read through the judgment and everything, the one thing that I keep thinking is that I don't necessarily think businesses are going to take those benefits away entirely, but they definitely, because obviously your staff will be incredibly unhappy about it. So you can't necessarily take it away. But I definitely think as we head into, you know, Feb, March, we'll definitely start seeing that those amendments come through.
Yeah. You know, you obviously specialize in accounting and numbers, so you would know the financial impact that if, let's just say hypothetically, you have 50% of the employees are women, now you add now another 50%, those expenses in a double essentially.
Absolutely, because that's where I think it's going to hurt the most. I think it's definitely going to hurt the most in your budgetary preparations. And obviously now there was no ways that that employer could have ever budgeted for such a thing, because we just never knew that it was coming. I'll be very honest. I didn't foresee this was going to happen this year. So I definitely think it's going to have a big impact come February and March, and I think we're definitely either going to see more feedback from the employer and the employees on the implementation of this come February, March, because I think that's when we're going to get a hell of a lot more data and we're going to get a lot more feedback.
Exactly.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break again and we're going to listen to some music, and when we return we're going to get into the legal and social significance of this new judgment.
This is Casey 107.7.
And welcome back. Once again we are chatting to Ali Sunday, our resident legal expert. And now we're just going to go into the legal and social significance of the judgment. Would you say this ruling marks a major step towards gender equality in the workplace?
Yes and no. The reason why I say yes is that, Mrs. Bearing Mind, okay, let's take a step forward, backward first. Yes, it's a great step forward because now you're giving additional benefits to a parental father to bond with his or their child, right? But at the same time, you're taking away another maternal's mother's leave, right? Which was hard fought for 20 years ago, right? Women fought hard for maternity leave, and now we're getting to the point where the leave that they fought hard for is now being taken away from them, essentially being split down the middle, right? So there is some pros to it, but there's also cons.
You know, it's funny because I feel like, well, it's not actually funny, but the way I look at it is that, you know, women fought so long and hard to get these, you know, maternal rights or maternal leave, right? And now because we are running into this age of equality, right? Or we're so busy trying to find that middle ground where, you know, women are happy, men are happy, that we just went like, it feels like, you know, when you've got two kids and you're just trying to make both kids happy. So instead of just going, you know what, women fought hard for these 4 months, we can maybe give men like an extra 2 weeks, an extra month or so, because at the end of the day, let's be fair, the woman is the one recovering after birth, so it makes sense. Yes, myself 100%. as a let's call it upcoming father or an expecting father, I would love the idea of having an extra 2 weeks, having an extra month in principle, it sounds great, but then I also realize that there's a money side to this as well, because you're not going to get your full salary too.
Exactly. And just bear in mind, the regional court, let's just say the high court, provided for a standard correction, I must double check, or it was a fun fact that actually argued for it should be 4 months for both parties, right? And this largely stems from the fact that in European standards, right, where I think it's the UK, but many European nations as well, where you get up to 1 year maternity leave and paid, right? And in some cases, that maternity leave can be shared in with a paternal father or another spouse. Example, where you allow to share into that 1 year leave. So hypothetically, you can take 6 months and 4 months, whatever the case may be. So that was what was argued. But now the Constitutional Court went another route and said, okay, we keep in the 4 months. We'll just combine your 10 days paternity leave and you guys share however you wish or split down the middle.
Every time I go through that that ruling, I just think to myself, it sounds great in like a make-believe world, but then as soon as you put it into principle, I know that I have friends or I have colleagues who would literally go, you know, for me, I definitely want to bond with my child. So a month would be more than enough because obviously, you know, there's bills to be paid. A new baby is very expensive. So us as a household, we understand that, you know, we do want to bond with our kid, but at the end of the day, there is still bills to be paid. And then there's that other contingent that goes, if women can get it, men should also be able to get it. So I feel like we're constantly doing this juggling act.
Yeah, just to add on that, it's going to, like what you mentioned about bills needs to be paid and et cetera. And it's like we're living in, the economy is tough at the moment as everybody feels it. And it's going to come down to when parents split the leave, it may come down to the fact that a maternal mother will say, okay, your company provides the better benefits. Rather you take that paternity parental leave, and then I can go back to work. Because it's going to come down to that. And bear in mind, UIF doesn't pay you full maternity leave, and we all know the struggles with UIF.
Absolutely, because, I mean, you could put an application in, and I've had colleagues and friends who've put the application in and they get their benefit 3 weeks in. I've had colleagues and friends who have put that application in and they literally got it once they went back to work. So
yeah,
that's
it varies.
Absolutely. And I think that's things that we should take into consideration. Mm-hmm. I think the one other issue is that we keep looking at, you know, European countries and first world countries, and we keep forgetting that economically we're a third world country. So what will work for them will, let's be fair, at the stage of our economy, it won't work for us. Because like we said, it sounds nice to get 2 months each, but in reality, you're going to get a very late UIF payment, which isn't even going to cover your salary. You're praying your employer will cover whatever UIF doesn't. And if that isn't the case, you can't have two people sitting at home.
Exactly. And just to throw a spanner in the works, right? If a paternal father, right, takes his paternity leave, say example, they split down the middle and say 2 months, 5 days, right? He can take that for 2 months, 5 days, and if his employer does not provide for paid benefits, his claim for UIF will only be the 10 days provided for. Because remember, it's only the BCAA that has been amended. UIF still needs to be amended. So technically, if you're taking 2 months, you're only going to be paid for 10 days.
So let's look at the implementation and the next steps. Has the court set any deadlines or guidelines for Parliament to amend the legislation?
Yes, they have. Parliament has 36 months from the date of the judgment to amend the BCAA. Okay, and the Constitutional Court has given the suggested amendments that needs to be included. And then also said UIF also has 36 months, so 3 years, to basically amend their legislation, the Unemployment Insurance Act, and basically now to account for these additional maternity benefits, well, not additional, but to additional paternity benefits, let's put it that way, because paternal fathers that will be gaining from this really.
So in the meantime, how can parents make use of their new rights before a formal amendment takes effect?
So if no policy amendments has been made by your employer, as it is legally, it's a right that employees are entitled to. Okay. So if you're a paternal father or a spouse to a parental relationship, you're entitled now to approach your employer. Look here, my wife and I, or my spouse and I have, or my partner, whatever the case may be, has discussed, look here, we want to take, split our leave in such a way. It will be 3 months and 1 month and 10 days. and I like to take 1 month in 10 days. And that's basically the way you're going to have to approach it. And then obviously, depending on your employer's policies, that you have to set the line like that. In absence of a policy to that effect, you have to now just communicate with your employer, work with your employer on how to like just come to a solution. Again, if there's going to be a dispute between the employer and the employee, your next best bet is going to have to go through the CCMA, because it's going to come up now. I'm sure the CCMA is be overburdened with employers rejecting an employee's request for extended paternity leave now, although it's their right.
Absolutely, because let's be fair, leave has always been an issue when it came to employee-employee, and it actually has resulted in many times where a employer-employee relationship has actually become fragmented. So it's going to be very interesting to see how not only employees take this information, but also how employers come to the table and then figure out a way around all of this, because the way I think about it is it's almost as if both parties need to come to the table and find a middle ground, because it's not just going to be a clear cut 2 months, there you go. I feel like in order for you not to land up in the CCMA, it almost feels like you need to find like a middle ground between your employer and what he or she wants. And I think that is, like you said, where we're going to find issues, because how many times have employer and employees landed up in the CCMA for maternity leave as a whole?
Exactly.
So my final question to you is, where can people go for more information or legal assistance about these new rights?
Your best bet is going to be the constitutional judgment itself. It clearly sets out what the new reading of the BCAA should look like. And if not, there's many articles that has been published by myself as well, and many other practicing attorneys in the legal field. And also, if you still struggle to understand it, you're more than welcome to contact any labor attorney who will gladly assist.
Absolutely. And honestly, if you do want to, I suggest you do follow Ali Sonde on LinkedIn. The work that him and the firm he works with is doing, especially with regards to just sharing information to the general public, is absolutely incredible. So I do suggest you follow him on LinkedIn. But Ali, thank you so much for your time and your insight. I really appreciate it. I just want to say thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you found today's discussion valuable, and we'll see you same time, same place. God bless.